Good evening, Creep, and welcome to the Mystery Playhouse. As a return engagement, your Mystery Playhouse brings you tonight a story by one of the great authors of crime fiction, Agatha Christie. This ingenious drama, entitled Witness for the Prosecution, is one of the prolific Miss Christie's very best. Miss Leslie Wood, star of the recent Broadway play The Assassin, will play the leading role. Witness for the Prosecution is a brilliantly original narrative of the fight for a man's life, with a double surprise at the end. So stand by, Creep, for Agatha Christie's fast-moving yarn of sudden twists and turns. Witness for the Prosecution.
Our story begins in a little house in the suburbs of the great city. Rich, eccentric old Miss Emily French, half dozing in her rocking chair. And then someone enters her room, walks up to the rocking chair, looks down on Miss French, and then
pictures you can. A murder weapon, a rocking chair, a corpse.
Okay, Inspector, we'll get you.
Miss French wouldn't listen to me, Inspector Einstein. I used to be more than the maid to her. I was her best friend until he came, and now see what's happened.
All right, Miss McKenzie, relax. Who are you talking about?
Mr. Vole, Leonard Vole. I told Miss French no good would come of it, but she wouldn't listen to me. She entrusted all her business to him. She even made out a new will, leaving him all her money.
Was he here tonight?
He was here every night since he met her 3 months ago. He must have been here tonight.
You remember if anyone else came to see Miss French tonight?
Not that I know of. Oh, I warned that no good would come of it. Him, 33, and she at least 70. And he killed her. Leonard Vole killed her. I know he did.
Leonard Vole.
That's right.
Inspector Reinstein, Homicide Squad. I'd like to talk with you down at headquarters.
What about?
Emily French has been murdered.
Murdered? But who? What do you want with me?
We're booking you on suspicion.
But, Mr. Mahern, you're my attorney. You've got to believe me. I didn't do it.
Take it easy, Vole.
Take it easy? I'm going crazy cooped up in this jail. Listen, why would I kill her? I tell you frankly, I was broke. I hoped to borrow some money from Miss French. So why would I kill her?
Don't you know that Miss French left a will leaving all her money to you?
What? What are you trying to say?
Didn't you know about that?
No. Oh, this gets worse every minute. They'll say I got Miss French to make out a will, leaving her money to me, and that I killed her. Sure, I admit I was there that night, but
as a maid, Janet McKenzie said you were there until 9:30. She said she heard voices in the sitting room where Miss French is and that of a man.
9:30?
Yes.
9:30. Then I'm saved.
What do you mean, saved?
By 9:30, I was at home again. My wife, Romaine, can prove that. The voice the maid heard must have been someone else's. I left Miss French about 9:05. I arrived home about 9:20.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was there waiting for me. That proves I'm innocent, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, my boy. The first thing I'm going to do is see your wife and have a talk with her. And that's the whole story, Mrs. Vole. No one else saw Leonard return at 9:20. There'll be no one else to confirm your testimony.
I see. Leonard wants me to say that he came in at 9:20 that night. Is that right?
Yes. He did come in at that time, didn't he?
That's not the point. Will my saying so acquit him? Will they believe me?
Well, there's a great deal of evidence against him, and the testimony of a devoted wife sometimes... Well, I can't promise your testimony will save him. Now, I know what you must feel, but...
Do you? I wonder.
Well, I mean, all this must be difficult, you being so devoted to your husband.
Devoted? I hate him.
What?
I tell you, I hate him. I hope he drops dead if they don't convict him.
What the devil?
Supposing I tell you that he did not come in that night at 20 minutes past 9, but at 20 minutes past 10.
What?
You say that Leonard claims he doesn't know anything about the money coming to him.
Yes.
Well, supposing I tell you that he knew all about it and counted on it and committed murder again.
But...
Supposing I tell you that he admitted to me that night when he came in what he had done.
He...
That there was blood on his coat. What then? Suppose I stand up in court and say all these things.
You mean you testify against your husband?
Why not? I detest him.
He hasn't a chance. Not a chance.
Of course not. Did you honestly think he was innocent when you came here to see me today?
Yes, I did.
I see. And what do you think now?
I still think he's innocent. And I think you're lying. Good evening, Mr. Ford. Mayor, I'm speaking.
Mr. Mayor, my name is Moxon. Mrs. Moxon.
Yes?
Now, you don't know me, but if you want that tainted, brazen woman thrown up for what she is, a liar, you come to 1122 Hudson Street tonight.
What? You mean Mrs. Ball?
Come and find out, or lose your head, and bring $300.
Now, wait a minute.
Goodbye.
Mrs. Moxon. Hello. Hello. If I can prove Mrs. Roll is lying, Leonard still has a chance. I'm Mr. Mayhern.
Oh, so you decided to come in. Well, come on in, come on. I see you're looking at the scars around my face. Are you wondering why I hide my beauty, dear? Would you like to see?
Oh, I wasn't.
Do you tell, see? Here. Never mind. Never mind. I'll cover my cheek with a scarf again. But you don't feel like kissing me, do you? And I don't blame you. And yes, I was a pretty girl once, and not so long ago as you'd think either. Vitriol, my dear, vitriol. That's what did that to my face. But I'll be even with her. I can give you proof that Romaine Vole has lied about her husband.
Proof? What kind of proof?
What did you say to a letter? A letter from her.
Well, how did you get hold of it?
Never mind how I got hold of it. That's my business. But it'll do the trick, all right. Now, $300.
All right. But first, the letter, if you please.
Mm. Just right here in this desk. Here they are. A whole bundle of them. But it's the top one you want.
Thank you.
Now, go on. Go on and read it.
Max, well, these are love letters written by Romaine Vole. But they're not written to Leonard.
Yes.
This one is dated the day of Leonard's arrest. How did you get hold of this correspondence?
That would be telling.
These letters are addressed to Max. Max who? Who is he?
Read the letters and you'll see. And I know something more, too. You find out where she was at 20 past 10, the time she said she was at home.
Huh?
Ask at the Pinglebarn Dancing School. You ask Mr. Pinglebarn.
Mr. Pinglebarn. All right.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't go yet. Where's my money?
Here you are. $300.
Mm. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Follow the rhythm now. 1, 2, 1, 2. Pull in your stomach. Kick. That's it. Mrs. Barrican, please pull in your stomach. Oh, that woman will never learn. Follow the class. 1, 2, 1, 2. Gracefully now. Left arm coming over your head and touching the floor so gracefully. So come in gracefully now, rhythmically.
Mr. Pinglebarn.
Oh, please.
Mr. Pinglebarn, I'm sorry to intrude, but it's about the Leonard Bow murder case.
Oh. Hedrick, stop the piano. Well, what can I do for you?
I have a photograph here. Could you identify this woman?
Let me see. Why, yes, that's Romaine Bowles. Oh, she's one of my advanced students. Very artistic. In fact, she used to be an actress.
Oh, never mind all that. Was she here the night of the murder?
Why, yes. I remember we all discussed it the next day.
What time did she leave?
Well, I think the class broke up at 10:30 or so that night. Oh, class, please. Mrs. Perritan, pull in your stomach. How many times have I told you? Posture, posture!
Mr. Pinglebarn, you may be called upon at the trial tomorrow to testify that Mrs. Ball was here at 10:30 that night.
Me? A witness in a murder trial?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love it.
Order, please, or I shall have this courtroom cleared. Call the next witness, clerk.
Jeanette McKenzie to the stand.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Sit down.
You may proceed, Mr. Prosecutor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Oh, Lieutenant McKenzie, what was your relationship to Miss Trent?
I was her maid.
Then you were in her confidence?
Oh, yes. We kept no secrets from each other.
Did she tell you that she had made out a will, leaving all her money to Leonard Bowles?
Yes.
Now, think carefully, Miss McKenzie. Did Mr. Bowles know that such a will had been drawn up?
Yes, he did.
Miss McKenzie, will you please tell this court, in your own words, what transpired in the home of Miss Trent on the night of your mistress's death?
Well, I was to go out for the evening. I did go out, but about 9:30 I returned. I heard voices in the parlor. One was Miss Trent's, and the other was a man's.
Did you recognize that man's voice?
Yes, it was Mr. Bowles.
That's all? Thank you.
Just a moment, Miss McKenzie.
Yes?
You say that you heard a man's voice in the sitting room that night. Did you see that man?
No, I didn't.
Then how can you be sure that it was Mr. Bowles who was there?
Well, I think it was Mr. Bowles.
You think it was? That's all, Miss McKenzie.
And, Mr. Bowles, you want us to believe that you visited this rich old lady, Miss Trent, out of pure kindness of heart? A woman 40 years your senior? You want us to believe that, Mr. Bowles?
I only want...
You look pale, Mr. Bowles. Would you like a glass of water?
No, it's my heart. It's my heart.
Will you please tell this court where you were at 9:30 on the night of the murder?
But I told you. I left Miss French's house about 9:05. I arrived home about 9:20. My wife was there waiting for me. Ask her, she'll tell you the truth. I swear to you I'm telling the truth. I'm innocent, I tell you. As God is my witness, I'm innocent.
Now, The prosecution calls as its next witness, Mrs. Romaine Bowles.
Romaine Bowles to the stand, please.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Sit down.
Your name is Romaine Bowles?
Yes.
Did your husband ever tell you that he knew that the money was coming to him? That he knew about the will?
Yes, he knew about the will.
Now, Mrs. Bowles, you have sworn to tell the truth. Mr. Bowles says that he was home by 9:30 that night. Is that true?
No, it is not true.
Will you tell the court what you know about the night in question?
Yes. Leonard was with me early in the evening. About 8 o'clock, he put on his hat and coat and left the house. He returned at 10:20. And when he came in, I knew something terrible had happened. He wouldn't look at me. He just walked into the kitchen. His coat was stained with blood. I realized then that he had murdered Miss Trent.
No, no! No, Romaine, why are you lying?
Order, order!
That will be all, Mrs. Bowles.
One moment. I have a few questions for the witness of the prosecution. Mrs. Bowles, you heard Mr. Bowles cry out in his torment that you were lying. Are you?
I am not lying.
You are. And I'll tell you why. And I'll prove it. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I want you to understand that this woman's story is a malicious fabrication from start to finish. I want you to know that she wasn't even in her own house at the time in question. I want you to know that she is in love with another man and has been deliberately seeking to send Bowles to his death for a crime he did not commit. First of all, Mrs. Bowles, do you still claim that you were at home 10:20?
Yes, that's when Leonard came home.
I want you to look at the witnesses sitting at that end table. Mr. Pinglebine, will you stand up, please?
Gladly.
Mrs. Bowles, do you recognize this man?
Yes.
Mr. Pinglebine runs a dancing school. Will you deny that you were at one of his classes until 10:30 on the night in question, or shall I take this court time to call Mr. Pinglebine and his class to the stand to prove that you were with them?
No. No, I was not tonight.
Then you were not at your home at 10:30. You were home at 9:30 when Leonard came home, but you hurried away to your class, and you were there until after 10:30. Is that right?
Well, I'm afraid Mr. Pinglebine and his class can prove that.
Exactly. And now I should like to place in evidence this letter written by Romaine Vole to another man.
Clerk, you may read the letter.
Here you are.
Max Beloved, the fates have delivered him into our hands. He has been arrested for murder. The murder of an old lady. Leonard, who would not hurt a fly. At last, I shall have my revenge. I shall say that he came in that night with blood upon him, that he confessed to me. I shall hang him, Max, and when he hangs, he will know and realize that it was Romaine who sent him to his death. And then, happiness, beloved, happiness at last.
Mrs. Vole, look at this letter.
Yes?
You deny having written this letter?
I...
Will you admit it, or shall I have the experts who are present prove that this letter is in your handwriting? Mrs. Vole, did you write this letter?
Yes, I wrote it. This is my chance to get rid of it. That's why I made up the whole story. I'll tell you, he did return to the house at 9:20, but when I realized that only my testimony could prove his innocence, I decided to invent a story out of whole cloth to ruin him. And now I've ruined everything. I've ruined it.
And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we have proven that Romaine Bowles' evidence was a tissue of lies from beginning to end. We are shown that she evolved it out of her passionate hatred for the defendant. And since the chief witness for the prosecution has confessed to her false story, confirming Mr. Vole's statement that he was not at Miss French's house at 9:30, I ask that you bring in the only possible verdict. Not guilty.
We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
Congratulations, Paul. Did you hear that? You're a free man again.
Free? That's the most exciting I... My heart.
What is it, man?
I can't breathe.
Mr. Paul.
Not guilty.
Paul! Stand back. Stand back. Give him air. Please.
Bennett.
Please.
Bennett, tell him to do something.
Will you all stand back and be quiet, please? I think... Yes, he's dead. Perhaps dead, it's heart failure. I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Vole. I know you loved him very much.
You know?
Yes. But, I know you didn't hate him.
But how did you know?
We're all creatures of habit. And you have a habit, a gesture of your hand that you use when you're excited.
Gesture of my hand?
Yes. Mrs. Modson in Hudson Street had that same gesture.
Oh. Are you deaf?
Yes. And you were formerly an actress. I learned that from Mr. Tinglebaum. I can see now how you did it.
Well, it was easy enough. Makeup for my face. The light of that gas jet was too bad for you to see the makeup.
But why, Mrs. Vole, why?
Mr. Mann, I had to save him. The evidence of a wife devoted to him would not have been enough. You said as much yourself.
That's right.
But I know a little something of psychology. And I thought, let me, his wife, testify against him and then let it be proven that I had deliberately lied. Well, I was the star witness for the prosecution. When you destroyed my testimony, you destroyed the prosecution's entire case.
And the bundle of letters?
Oh. One alone, the vital one, might have seemed like a put-up job, so I just wrote a number.
Hmm. Then the man called Max.
He never existed.
Mm-hmm. I still think that we could have gotten him off by the normal procedure.
I didn't dare risk it. You see, you thought he was innocent.
And you knew it. I see.
My dear Mr. Mayhem, you do not see a total. I knew he was guilty.
Well, creep, that rings down the curtain on witness for the prosecution, tonight's performance in the Mystery Playhouse. Miss Leslie Woods was starred in tonight's play by Agatha Christie. Until next time, creep, good night, sleep tight. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.